it's something on top of it. It's a set of libraries which you can choose to download and to use into your applications. But it provides you with means to achieve true elasticity and to pay exactly what you need in regards to your Windows Azure applications. So let's define a few words first and foremost. Azure is a platform which was designed and developed with a very clear objective in mind for it to be scalable, which means that it allows us to add or remove resources depending on our needs. And it also means that, at least in theory, it has a flexible pricing model. Now, the pricing model is very flexible. It allows us to add or remove instances, but we still need to do it on our own. So the platform itself has built all the technology so we can scale, but scaling is our responsibility. And in my definition, being truly elastic means that you can scale, but you can scale in an automatic manner, not manually. And let me explain, because it's a slight difference between the two terms, and we need to explain it further on. So what Azure provides us, the ability to scale, is excellent, but we still need to do some manual steps. And let me give an example here. Let's say you have a web application, which currently is a web role in the cloud service in Windows Azure, running on two instances, so two virtual machines eventually running the same website. You come to a point where your app is very under very high loads, and you need to scale. You need to monitor your application, and then you need to make the decision, to take the decision to scale up, and then further on to scale down when the application is not so used anymore. This might seem very bad. And at the beginning, to be honest with you, it seemed bad for me too. I was thinking, why isn't Microsoft doing the stuff for me? If they see that the application needs to scale, why don't they do it for me? Well, the answer is quite simple. Microsoft shouldn't take responsibilities or shouldn't take any action which has impact on costs. Because if you think about it, now we have two instances. They are not enough. You need the third one or the fourth one, and so on and so forth. So you'll need to pay more. And if Microsoft did that decision for us, it wouldn't be quite okay with the financial guys in our company. So that's the reason we have to do it manually. And right now, in order to automate it, you have some options. So the first option would be for you to go into the portal and scale, add some instances, remove some instances. But you can automate it. And the first option for you to do that is using the Service Management API. The Service Management API is just a web service, REST, a REST service, which is at our disposal for us to target from our applications, and which ultimately exposes the same functionality, or at least part of the same functionality, we have in the portal. So we can always write our applications, which automatically create new instances on a web role or delete some instances on a web role. The second option would be to do the same thing using PowerShell commands. You can install PowerShell, you can install an add-on for Windows Azure, which already has some commands built into it. And if this PowerShell plugin will eventually target the same Service Management API. So it's a bit better than writing your own code using PowerShell, because you don't have to write that code. But it's not quite where it should be. Why? Because with both these first two options, you can create or remove new instances in your web role, but you still need to monitor your application and to see that it needs extra resources, or that it uses too few resources and you can remove some of them. So there's the third option for you to become true elastic, which is auto-scaling application block. And this talk is going to be exactly about this part of Enterprise Library. So auto-scaling application block is nothing but a part of this integration pack for Windows Azure. That means that you have the same configuration and the same usage as you might be familiar with from other Enterprise Library blocks. it's primarily designed for you to be able to autoscale. And it does this by reducing your operational costs. How? In two manners, at least. It will reduce the manual work you need to employ when you need to scale up or down, because actually you don't have to do anything, almost anything manually. And it will reduce your costs also because you will pay exactly what you need. Without a true elastic solution, whenever you would increase your number of instances because you need more to scale manage the load that you have, if you scale up, it's perfect. But when the load goes down, you would need to also remove those extra machines that you spawned before. If you forget to do that, you'll pay for them. But this auto-scaling application block, if used properly, this is a very important thing to mention. If used properly, it will be able to save you some costs, exactly like this, removing the extra resources, the extra instances that you don't use. So let's go ahead and present the most seen two scenarios. The first one would be predictable load patterns. So you have your web application. Let's say it's a business line of business application, which is primarily used between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. when people are in their offices or during their work days, and is not so used during the nights. It's an excellent pattern, very easy to configure. You can always configure your application block to create four instances at 8 a.m. and then to remove two instances to have only two after 6 p.m. This is the easiest approach. The second approach is useful when you don't have a predictable load pattern. You don't know when the application would be flooded with requests. So you can react to specific resource uses variations. Exactly about this, I have a question from Scott, I think. What's the strategy with auto-scaling application block in regards to possible denial of service attacks? I think this is the I think I get the question right. Well, exactly in this kind of scenario, would including a denial of service attack fit into? Because if you see that your CPUs are always at 100%, no matter how many instances you provide, how many extra instances you provide, you can define your own constraint rule, which is very proper for this use scenario, which limits the number of instances to a maximum, a predefined maximum. So there are two scenarios you can fit your application to, and further on we're going to see more details about those. This block, auto-scaling application block, enables you to react in two different ways. So let's say your application is under very much stress. You need to react. You need to do something. Well, you can scale. You can add new instances, or you can throttle your application. Now, if you've seen, especially if you've seen my previous talk about throttling, the word is the same, but the meaning is quite different. It has this throttling here that has nothing to do with throttling in Windows Azure services. What I mean here is that you can decide to limit or maybe to hide some of the application functionalities because you don't want to create new resources, new instances, maybe you don't want to pay extra dollars. You are fit with two instances, but you know specific features because maybe they use too much CPU time or too much, I don't know, other resources, and you will disable them. This is a second approach you might take in terms of reaction. So, talking about architecture, how is the autoscaler application block, and how does it fit with the general Windows Azure ecosystem? Well, in the slides picture down at the bottom, there's your application, and this is another remark I need to make. Autoscaler application block is a set of libraries you need to use into your own application. So you need to write your own code, be it a console application or a desktop application, or be it a worker role which can be hosted in Windows Azure. So you need to write your own app. Yeah. And this app will do two things. First of all, it will monitor some data points which your target application, your Windows Azure application, will store from time to time from at certain moments in time into your Windows Azure storage account. Let's say, for example, you want to monitor the CPU load in a web application, and you make your web role, every instance on your web role, to save the performance counter, the CPU time performance counter, into a table in your storage account. And going back to your monitor application, well, it will exactly by as the name implies, it will monitor that table. This is the third thing. The first thing it will do. Then, based on some rules that you predefine in this application, it might take some actions, like for example, scale or throttle the target application. So this is a small introduction that I needed to make. Let's go ahead and look into our first demo. So I'm going to switch from my slides to my Visual Studio environment and my portal. So I have a very simple cloud service, which in its staging environment hosts a web app, this one. This is a very simple MVC web ASP.NET, sorry, web application, and actually it's part of Wasabi Hands-On Labs. I just took one of the hands-on labs from the Wasabi team and modified it a bit because they are excellent for this demo's purposes. So I have this application here running in the cloud. Going back to my application, to my Visual Studio solution, actually, I need to present first what I have here. So first of all, I have a web application which is hosted in Azure. And then I have this auto-scaling host, which is the monitor, actually. It's a console app the guys doing the hands-on labs decided to do. It's a very simple application which uses auto-scaling application block. So you have to notice this NuGet package already installed in here. In order for you to make the same thing, you need to install auto-scaling application block from NuGet. You can search it online and then install it. And the program logic, so the main method in this console app, does very few things. It creates, instantiates an autoscaler, and then it starts it, and then pretty much that's it. Because it will run, and based on your rules, based on the data, it will monitor. It will take the actions that you specified. And I have to explain quite a few things. Bear with me for a second. I won't go for now into too many details, but I have to explain a few things. I've created here, I'm looking at this operand right now called length 05 whole queue. So this is an operand, yes, which will measure the length of a queue in Windows Azure and will get the last value during the last 5 minutes. So this is an operand I will use for monitoring. And then I have these two rules. I'm going to collapse the second one, not to make you uncomfortable. So the first rule is to scale up. And whenever this operand is greater than 10, it will scale up, so scale the target application by 1. This means whenever we have more than 10 messages as the last value during the 5 minutes, the last 5 minutes, it will create a new instance in our web role. Now, this is a very important recommendation. In order for us to be efficient in terms of price, not only in availability of our websites, we always need to have our rules in pairs. If we have one rule which scales up by 1, when it's triggered by this operand, we should have one which scales down by 1, targeting the same operand. So when the length of the same queue becomes lower than 5, for example, we should scale down by 1 instance. We always have to have rules in pairs like that. Okay, so just ignore the second operand for now. We don't care about it. The meaning of the rules files here is that whenever the queue length becomes greater than 10, it will click, it will trigger this rule and trigger a specific action. Now, let me go ahead and open my web application and make sure I have more than 10 messages in the queue. Going to end some, to add some. Then I'm going to start the application, the monitoring application, because it will take some time for the rules to be evaluated. And in between, I need to explain some stuff. So I'm going to start debugging. Okay, because logging has been enabled in this block, we are going to see some logs here in a minute or so. And eventually, we're going to see this monitoring application triggering a change in the number of instances in the web role. But before us seeing that, because it's going to take some time, I'm going to show you a few important things. So first of all, going back to the application, I have 22 messages in the queue. And now using Azure Storage Explorer, which is a very helpful tool for cases like this, I'm opening the same account I used from the application, the same storage account, going to refresh, and here are 22 messages in the queue. Okay, so this queue is going to be monitored. We have a table here which enters some data, which has some data or will have some data eventually. But anyway, going back to the queue, we are sure we have 22 messages in it. And here is the output of the application running, of the monitor running. You see that, let me scroll up a bit. There were matched some rules, but for now, there are no configuration changes to be submitted. Even though we already have, and we sure have, because we've seen it, more than 20 messages actually in the queue, which is more than the threshold which is needed to trigger the rule, there is a so-called stabilizer. So a stabilizer, and we're going to see it just in a minute, this stabilizer right here. I'm going to explain its role more clearly in a few minutes. But basically what it's doing, it's preventing us to scale up, then scale down, then scale up, then scale down very frequently. Because what would happen with our application, with our web role, for example, if we scaled, I don't know, 10 times, 5 times up, 5 times down during an hour? It wouldn't make any sense to do that. So by default, these values should be 20 minutes, as far as I remember. I changed them to be 1 minute. So after my rules start being evaluated, and after they make sure that, you know, the queue length is greater than 10, it will need an extra minute for the rules to be triggered. So that's why it lasts some time. Now, it just clicked. If you're looking here, role scaling requests for hosted service about to be submitted. So this rule was matched, and the role the request was submitted. So any minute now we should see our going back to the portal, our staging environment being in a transitioning state. That means that the configurations, some configurations are being changed. And actually, our monitor here determined the instance to create a new, the web role to create a new instance. And we're going to see that in a few moments. Here it is. We have two instances, one running, one unknown. Well, it needs approximately 10 minutes to create a new instance. So this is scaling up in a nutshell. Now going back to, yeah, just make sure that our app is still running. Going back to Visual Studio, maybe when you'll try something like that, you will see logs like this one here. Because the monitor is still running, because we still have more than 10 messages in the queue, so that means that we should further scale up. Well, we have matched one rule, but because the web role is in a transitional state, it won't submit any changes to the web role. It doesn't make any sense since we're just changing its configuration, just creating a new instance, for example, or maybe deleting an instance. Doesn't make any sense for you to submit a change request, because anyway it won't react, or you just mess things up. So every minute we're going to get the same messages: cannot submit a scaling request now, is trying to scale up, but cannot because of the transitioning state. Okay, now I'm going to stop the monitoring application for now, because anyway it won't actually work until our transitioning is done. And let's go back to the rules XML file. And one thing I intentionally left out for now was this type of rule called constraint rule. So when defining your autoscaling rules, you have two types of rules you can implement: constraint and reactive rules. So far we've only talked about reactive rules, about the scaling up. Now I need to mention the constraint rules, especially because the very smart purpose this rule is having, which is making sure that we're limited at both ends of the interval with a specific number of instances. So we will never have less than one instance and more than four instances. You should always have a constraint rule like that. Of course, for a demo purpose, it's quite okay to have a minimum of one instance. In real life, you'll have a minimum of two, because otherwise you won't be the SLA with Microsoft wouldn't make any sense. So you need to be load balanced at least two instances here. But anyway, you should have a range rule which puts some limits on both ends of the interval. And this is one of the ways for you to not to prevent denial of service attacks, but to make sure that at least you're not paying too much. And also it's a way for you to make sure that you don't scale up forever, okay? Just in case you forgot to have a scale down rule like this one, this constraint rule comes very in handy. Now let me go back to the portal and see if it's done configuring. It's almost done, not quite there yet, because I need to wait a few more seconds or a minute or so, because I want to scale it down back. And if it won't happen in a few minutes or in a few moments or so, we're going to move forward with our presentation. Yeah, let's do that. And I'm going to come back to this demo a bit later on. So what we saw in this first demo, a small introduction into how to use autoscaling application block. Well, in order for us to implement a true Elastic application, we need to do a few things with this block. Of course, first of all, we need to install the NuGet packages. And then further on, we need to define our operands and our rules. As we've seen before in this first demo, I chose, or the guys who made the hands-on lab chose, to use this queue length operand. I'll show you in a minute or so that we can choose to use any other operands. Like for example, the web app will monitor some performance counters on every instance it's running on, and we monitor those operands. Based on those operands, we define our rules in this XML file you've seen. There are two types of rules, I told you that, constraint or reactive, and two types of actions we can take. So far we've only seen one type of action, which is scale, up or down. We're going to see a bit later how to also throttle your application. Then you need to define another XML file called service information whatever, which basically contains the settings for your Windows Azure application, so web role or worker role or whatever, and your storage account. So your monitoring application needs data to, first of all, to authenticate to your portal, so it needs a certificate. It needs to know the service and the web role it's monitoring. It also needs, or it's supposed to trigger actions on. And also it needs to know the storage account it's going to monitor. All these settings go into service information file. And of course, there's always, when you're talking about an Entlib component, the appconfig file, which you can, of course, configure using the Enterprise Library Configuration Console. And now we're going to see a bit more details into how to achieve true elasticity. I hope my portal is back to the running state. So my application is back in the staging environment, is back in the running state. So I can go back to my application. I'm going to run it and make it scale down back to one instance. And in order for me to achieve that scale down, so to meet the rule, I have to remove some messages from the queue. Okay. Just making sure that what we see is exactly what we have. Yeah, zero messages in the queue. I'm going to start the monitor, and it's going to do its business. 2 or 3 minutes from now, we're going to see the portal changing again, scaling down to one instance. But in between, we have some time to talk about how to define your XML files in order for you to achieve elasticity. So, opening the solution, so I can easily navigate through these files. I'm going to services.xml. Okay, so here I defined, and please make sure you don't remember this. This is my subscription. It's a test subscription I'm using. I need to define to specify the certificate I'm using to connect to the portal. Then I'm specifying the service name, which is Azure Conf Scaling Demo in my case, the slot I'm targeting, then the scaling mode. And this is very interesting stuff. You can change between a few ways to scale. You can scale, or you can just notify. When you select notify in here, you tell the monitoring application to just send emails to a pre-configured address. This is very helpful when you already have an operation, an operational workflow in your office, so managing production environments. When, for example, you generate tickets based on emails, so you can use your monitoring application to send an email, which will fit into your existing workflow, and somebody will see the email and take the decision manually. This is very, very interesting. And of course, you can select the scale and notify option. I'm going to leave it to scale for now. And then, of course, there is the setting of a storage account. Again, our monitoring application needs a storage account because that's what it's monitoring. There is the place where data is collected, and that data needs to be monitored by our application. Let me see if some rules have been matched. Yeah, but didn't. So it didn't trigger any changes yet. I'm gonna see them in a moment. In between, let me go ahead and see and show you the appconfig file. So as I mentioned, auto-scaling application block being part of Enterprise Library, of course, you will have to configure it in a similar way. You can do it in this fashion, like editing this XML file manually. Or if you have it installed, You can use an extension manager called Enterprise Library config.config if you don't install it, because it's very helpful. I already have it, so I'm going to open it. And here's my configuration of auto-scaling application block. There are a few things I need to configure, like the location of the rule files and the services files file. Then do I need to log things? Do I need an execution list? This is a very interesting stuff. I have not prepared my demo to show you, but it's useful in a case when your monitoring application actually resides in a worker role, and the monitoring application itself has two instances. Now, what happens when the monitoring application decides that it needs to change something in your target application? And what happens if both the instances of the monitor decide the same thing in the same during the same time? So you might get yourself into a race condition or into a state which is hard to follow then. Here, execution lists come into place. I mean, one of the monitor instances can mark a list somewhere, and from that moment on, nobody else is taking any decision. So no other monitoring instance is taking any decision on your existing web app. Of course, you can always add other rule stores. Like, for example, in my case here, the rules XML files is stored on premises, because in this demo my monitoring application is hosted on premises. But if I would select it to be a worker role, then I would need to have somewhere the XML file, and I can always upload it to a blob store. And there are the configurations for the service itself. I have to define the storage account and the place where to look for monitoring for data to be monitored. This is the name a name of a table there, and these are the credentials of my storage account. And a very interesting attribute to set here, rule evaluation rate. This is very low, 1 minute. It's just for the demo purpose. In real life, I would have it, I don't know, 20 or 30 minutes, something like that, maybe more. I'm keeping it low here in order for us to finish everything in less than 60 minutes. I'm going to close this file and hope that the hosted service has been triggered. I'm not sure if it has. Let's see. I need to refresh everything to make sure that I'm seeing the last version. It's running and it has one core, so some changes were submitted maybe a few minutes ago. Yeah, somewhere before here. So anyway, it scaled down. That's what we needed. And now this application is only serviced by one instance. Excellent. Now we can move forward to see another possible reaction our monitoring application can trigger. For example, in order for us to not to have too many costs, like maybe we don't want our app to have more instances to run on, because we don't have to pay. We don't want to pay extra money. Maybe we can decide for things like, I don't know, changing a setting in the role environment, and then based on that setting, our application not to show a few functionalities that we might consider as being a very resource intensive. And this is what we're going to do right now. I stopped the monitoring application. I'm going to comment these two rules I used so far. So these are gone right now. I'm going to uncomment another pair of rules used for the next part of my demo, just to be very sure I don't make this mistake again, because it's very easy for you to make. Make sure you clean your solution, then you rebuild it, so your rules XML file will be overridden. I've done this dozens of times when I changed my rules XML file, and even if it's always copied to output directory, well, not, I didn't always have the latest version, let's put it this way. Okay, so now we're going to focus on these two rules. We have another type of reaction we can implement. So when we are monitoring, in this case, we're monitoring another operand. This is the CPU load on the instances of the web route. And the action we are triggering is to change a setting. Simple as that. It's a setting called throttling mode. We're going to see it in a minute. And in this case, its value is being set to normal. This case meaning that the CPU is under or less or equal than 50%. And the other rule, the matching rule, is whenever the CPU load is greater than 50%, we should change the same setting, but with another value, high activity. So the monitoring application will do a very simple job. Let me go ahead and start or make my my app simulate or generate 100% usage on the CPU. Going to press this button called high utilization. Now it's on. From this moment on, the application is going to log the performance counter called CPU percentage with the value 100%. Okay. Let me go ahead and start the application. So I'm just trying to buy time here for the autoscaler to evaluate the rule and be able to react. Okay. So we have these two rules, which only change a setting. Let us see what setting we are referring to. Oops, didn't mean to do that. Okay, so the setting I'm referring to, I'm going to open this this web role and see its settings. It's a setting called throttling mode, and its default value is normal. So this means that nothing is being throttled in our application. Okay. And then I'm going to show you the web app itself, so the real app we are talking about here. I'm going to go into default aspx.cs file. And here in on pre-render complete event handler, we have this we read this setting from the role environment. I'm debugging, so I cannot change the code, but anyway. So we are reading this setting, and based on its value, we can decide, as in this case, high activity, to disable some functionality in our application, or if the value is default or normal, we enable that same functionality. So it's a very simple thing to do. We are using the monitor to monitor the CPU load on those instances. And then if they pass another specific level, we just change a setting in our web role. And then our application constantly monitors this setting. And when it comes to a certain value, like high activity, it will disable some functions. This way, we will make sure that those functionalities will never be triggered, hence maybe using less resources. Okay, so let's see. Our application is fine. So the monitor should submit some changes to the configuration. Doesn't seem to have done so. Let me go back to the portal. No, it's not being changed. Okay, in the meantime, let me show you what specific setting this monitor is looking for. So in my storage account that I've used before in my demo, I have an application called Autoscaler Data Points. You might remember that this name was configured in my app config file in my monitoring application. So this is the source of the values, processor time. And if we look, we have some entries here with processor time, but none is 100%. So I think we will need to wait. Let me refresh the app to make sure it's not hanged somehow. So we should expect some entries with this performance counter being at 100%. Right now it's it has very low values. So we don't have any 100% value yet. Okay, so we'll just have to wait. And in a minute or so, we're going to have an entry with 100% here. In the meantime, let me go to the application, to the web app itself, and more specifically to the web role code, because you might be asking yourselves, okay, how does the web app monitor itself? Well, very simple. It has a So you can define a list of performance counters you need to monitor. In this case, I specified the processor total divided by processor not divided by this is a subcategory. So percent processor time. This is the meaning of the performance counter, meaning which is the percentage of processor of CPU time that this process is actually using. You can add many other performance counters here. And using a diagnostic monitor, the web application, so the Azure application itself, will save those values, okay, every 2 other minutes. That's why we had to wait a bit. That's why we didn't have any entries before. So every 2 minutes, it will add these values where it's specified in this connection string. I'm going to open it just a bit for you to see. Diagnostics connection string is pointing to my storage account, and more specifically to the table I showed you before. Now let's get back to the table and see. Hopefully we have at least 99% is good enough. 99% is more than 50%. So from this moment on, let me go back to Visual Studio. I'm going to close some files around not to forget where I am. Going back to the rules, we see that a high activity rule would be met with CPU 05 whole web role, this operand being greater than 50. And if we look at this operand below, this operand is being computed as follows. We monitor this value from the table I've just shown you, and we're getting the last value in the last 5 minutes. We could have other values here, like maximum or average or so, other values like that. And we had this 99 value. If I'm looking at the application itself, it seems that it's been triggered. So in between me talking, buying time, so it had enough time to succeed. It succeeded, actually. And if you look here at those two buttons, they are disabled. And this label, high activity detected, some functionality is temporarily unavailable. If we look at the output window in my Visual Studio environment, we're going to see somewhere before that some changes were submitted, of course. So maybe 2 minutes ago they were submitted. Specifically, this setting was changed. So the throttling mode setting is now at high activity. Now I'm going back to the application, generate the low utilization mode. So I'm triggering this, I'm pressing on this button. And now it's high utilization off. We're gonna have to wait for 2 minutes or so for the performance counter value to be here in our table. And then further on, the scaling down rule will be activated, because this operand, whenever it's lower than 50, our throttling mode is going to get back to normal. And if you see here, the last value is going to be taken into consideration. I'm looking at the table right now, and we have a performance counter with 30% value. So the scale down, or not the scale down, but the setting with throttling mode to normal is going to be triggered very soon. So looking at the output window, it's going to take a minute or so, but eventually it's going to be triggered. And we're going to see this application again with no throttling enabled. I hope you still have patience to follow me through all these windows. Ah, here you go. Some changes were submitted. So this setting has just been changed. We're not going to see it here. We're going to see it in the application itself here, because these two buttons up here are going to be enabled again. It will take a minute or so, hopefully. Yeah, so now it's transitioning. The setting is being changed. And it's going to take, I'm not going to say a minute or so again, because I don't know exactly, but it's going to take a while. Okay, in the meantime, I can prepare for my last demo, my last thing you might want to know. Yeah, and this is preparing your app not to to scale, but to notify somebody that maybe it needs scaling. And in order to do that, first of all, I need something in the configuration file, in the app config file. I already set up a mail, an email account, so emails will be sent out. I'm gonna have to need to change this value here, so I can stop the monitor, because the monitor has done its job to scale down. Yeah, and by the way, jumping back to our previous demo, no throttling is active anymore. We have all buttons enabled back. Okay, jumping back again to our email demo, I can change my service XML file to notify instead of scale. Let me make sure I clean the solution, I rebuild stuff. Okay, and now I'm going to run again. I'm going to make the application turn to high utilization back again. And we're going to see, hopefully we're going to see the setting not being changed, but being recommended to being changed in an email. So I just pressed this button. I hope it understood what I meant by that. If not, I'm going to do it again. Let me refresh the application. Okay, almost there. Okay. Yeah, everything should be okay in my application environment right now. I just need to make sure that my application understands what I'm trying to tell her. So rules have been met. no action has been taken yet, which is okay. It means that my monitor has read my rules. It's always a good thing to know. Now, for some reason, I don't quite follow. My application is not responding anymore. Let me try to open it again from here. And I'm going to wrap up my presentation and come back to this demo. Hopefully, it will run in a few minutes from now. So, what we needed to what I needed to tell you was that scalability and auto scalability or elasticity are not the same thing. Elasticity is a property provided to us by Windows Azure in many ways. So it enables us to create new resources, like new instances for a web application, for a web role, whenever we need to do so. But with out-of-the-box functionality of Windows Azure and what the platform has for us, well, we still need to do some manual steps. And in order to be true elastic, we need to automate those steps. And here, auto-scaling application blocks comes very very in handy, because it really does that for us. Now, there are some things we need to really consider, like not to make mistakes. For example, make sure that every time you have a scale-up rule, you have the matching scale-down rule. Or make sure you always have a constraint rule which sets an interval in between which your instance count has to be all of the time. And depending on your settings, you will be able to achieve those two objectives. So both auto-scale and pay exactly what you need. Now, let me go back to my application. Hopefully it woke up. Yeah, I have high utilization on. The monitor is running. And trying to find some emails being sent here. I'm not. So changes will be ignored. Changes will be ignored. Nothing yet. I should expect an email. Still ignored. Okay. It will generate an email in a minute. Maybe we'll come back to that. So, if we have if you have questions, please make sure you send them on Twitter, and I'll try to do my best to answer them. These are a bunch of resources which I highly recommend for you to take a look at. First of all, there's Enterprise Library, and there you can find this component, Auto-Scaling Application Block, which is part of the larger Enterprise Library Integration Pack for Windows Azure. Then you have the Patterns and Practices MSDN website, which is kind of a book, a how-to book on Auto-Scaling Application Block. And then you have the hands-on labs of Entlib integration pack. And actually, my demos, this session's demos were based on these hands-on labs, because they're very, very good. Okay, so let me once again see. Hopefully it, yeah, role information changes were, role configuration changes were submitted. So I would expect an email. I'm showing you my emails, but there's nothing compromising in here, as far as I know. I hope it's not in the junk folder. No, it's not in the junk folder. An email should come my way immediately. Bum, bum, bum. Should be around here. It's not. No, anyway, I'm not going to spend too much time into my email account, because emails keep flooding, and not the one I really needed to see. Anyway, Maybe this component is not working right now because of the infrastructure I'm being hosted today. Like, for example, I cannot use that port, but for certain it will work. So, wrapping it up, thank you for watching me. This was my talk about autoscalable solutions with Windows Azure. Don't forget to look at the code, download the code from Enterprise Library CodePlex website. Thank you.